Craig will pass those out. Word that you shared with me. Here.
I had a word of a ocean.
It's okay. People are still moving. Seth just came and shared a word with me during worship that I thought would be really good for us to hear now as we kind of go into listening to Dylan preach the word to us. So listen to the picture that the Lord gave to Seth in preparation for hearing God's word.
I had a word of a ocean, and basically they started building the fish on a coral reef a home, and they started going into better technology into the future. And then it started to go murky waters and die off. And then God said to join him in his kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah, and as Seth was talking to me before, he was saying, in the coral reef, if we build according to what's around us, using the technology of the world, the coral reef, it dies, it doesn't work. But he said to me before, if the fish sort of give God rule and reign and allow God to build the coral reef, it will flourish. And so likewise, as we go into the preach, I want to encourage us that we want to hear God's truth, because as we hear God's truth, life can flourish. And that is our hope.
Thanks, Mike. Awesome. It's a great privilege to preach this evening. If we haven't met, my name is Dylan. I, along with Mike, am an elder in this church, and I really do count it a privilege to preach on Sundays. I don't take it for granted. Just as we were worshiping, worship is a funny thing because you sing praises to God for how good he is. And you sing about his boundless and endless grace. And in that process, you're being sanctified in a way, because you're just thinking of the week you had and how much you needed his grace. I don't know, I feel quite tender at the moment. I'm just so aware of God's grace and how much he does care for us and love us. Okay, but that's not what I'm preaching on. That was just a bit of a freebie. But it's amazing what it does do to us when we look to him and realize how big and wonderful he is. So tonight I wanted to preach on this thing of vision. Now, it's quite late in the year. Normally what some people would do in business is they would preach or teach the vision for the year at the beginning of the year, and everyone gets on board and they're all excited. And we've often seen it when I was younger. I used to watch these presentations by these big tech guys as they would cast a vision for the year. Okay, you think of the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs with Apple. Who remembers when the iPhone first came out? I was just like, what is going on? Like, we still had Nokias. We were like, this is a game changer. And Steve Jobs is there, and he's telling us what Apple's going to do. It's amazing. And I was a complete Apple fanboy for a long time. I still am a little bit. We think of Elon Musk, who gets up and he talks about Tesla and he introduces that crazy-looking truck, which I don't think they've started rolling out yet, but that thing is nuts. But what he's doing is he's kind of casting a vision, right? Whether or not they make it, you're buying into something. And those guys are so good at it. The presentations that they do are so good that you get swept up in it. And recently, I'm not the owner of a big tech company, but I do lead a church. And the question came to me, what is the vision for the church? It's quite a big question. And I want to give you my thoughts tonight on what I believe the vision for the church is. It's a good question. It's a good question to ask. What is the vision for the church? So what is the vision? And to answer that, I'd like to point us to a scripture. And that scripture is a well-known scripture. You would have heard it before. It's Proverbs 29:18. And when I read it, you're going to recognize it immediately. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, as I said, it's a familiar scripture and we know it. And I'm hoping tonight, as I unpack it, I'll explain to you what it means for us. Now, obviously, the context of the scripture is in the Old Testament. It's a proverb. It's written to the people of Israel at that time, okay? And it's a proverb, and it speaks about the prophetic vision. Now, that is a vision that would have been given to the people of Israel by the prophets, right? And when we think of the prophets, we think of these amazing people in the Bible, and they were responsible for guiding the people of God in truth and in essence towards God. The prophets were God's mouthpiece to the nation at that time. And this prophetic vision that's spoken about in Proverbs 29:18 was their revelation of God to the people. Now we think of these great prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah, the major and the minor prophets, as we see them throughout Scripture, and they speak the words of God, both encouraging and warning Israel. And that is now what we find in Scripture, in the books of those great prophets. And when I read that Scripture, when I read those lines of without prophetic vision, I was reminded of a song, and I love old hymns. Those are the kind of the songs that I default to. And my favorite hymn, probably of all time, is this one. I can hardly read. Okay, I'm getting old. I've got glasses as well. But my favorite hymn, when I read this passage and I think about these prophets envisioning the people of God, it's this one. It's, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day and by night, waking and sleeping, thy presence my light." Like, I wish they would write more songs like that today than a lot of the stuff we hear. And that's all I'm going to say. You see, what the writer of Proverbs and the writer of the hymn both understood was that a big vision and understanding of God is of first importance and desperately needed. A vision of God. How you and I view God and what our vision and understanding of God is will shape our lives. It will determine how we walk out our lives from day to day. If we have a big vision of God, it will change the way we walk as opposed to having a small vision of a small God. It won't change us much at all. As the scripture says, to avoid wandering, people needed a vision of God, and without it, they cast off restraint. Now, when I think of this passage, I think of Paul and his famous words to King Agrippa. And you probably know them. He says this in Acts 26:19. He says, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Now, that comes at one of the most profound pieces of scripture, probably in the whole Bible and probably Book of Acts. I know I say that for all scriptures that I preach. When you meditate in a piece of scripture, suddenly that's the most profound scripture. But this really is. It's an account of Paul's journey on the road to Damascus. And he has this encounter with Jesus. And I want to read it because it really is. It's a powerful, powerful scripture. It says, "In this connection, I journey to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things which you have seen, of which you have seen me, and those of which I will appear to you. Delivering you from your people and from the deliver it to the to people and to the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It's an amazing passage of scripture. You see, Paul has this radical experience of God, and it completely changes him. As I'm sure many of us have had radical encounters with God that have changed us almost instantaneously or overnight. Nothing really mattered, or nothing really mattered to Paul after he had this vision of Jesus. After Jesus had appeared to him as this bright sun-like light, Paul is forever changed. Now, you might be sitting here and you haven't had an experience like that, a conversion experience like that. I think maybe a few of us have. I personally haven't, just to put you at ease. But we can still grasp the bigness, the greatness, the wonder, and the awe of God by reading about him in Scripture and experiencing him through the Holy Spirit. Just because Paul has experience doesn't mean that we cannot experience God in profound ways in our lives today. But as I was reading that passage of Scripture, something really profound stood out to me. And it's this. Paul has this vision of Jesus. But Paul's commission is preceded by his vision of Jesus. Paul's commission is preceded by his vision of Jesus. Jesus appears to him first and he is overwhelmed, and then he is given his mission to the Gentiles. What does that mean for us? How do we apply that to us? Let me say this. The question was asked of me, what is our vision? Our prophetic vision is Jesus. Our prophetic vision is Jesus, and that informs our mission as a church. Has to be that way. Our prophetic vision is Jesus, and that informs our mission as a church, the loving of neighbor, the helping the poor, evangelism, brotherly love, community, serving in the soup kitchen as Matt does, get in touch with him if you want to help him there, is only possible and effective if Jesus is our first vision. The commission will flow out of that vision. Good ideas, plans, programs can sometimes become our primary focus when actually it always needs to be Jesus. Now, the verse doesn't stop there. It goes on and it says this. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, we've read that, the people cast off restraint. And the danger, of course, is that if our vision is not firstly Jesus, we are in danger of casting off restraint. The King James Version or translation says, the people perish. Maybe you know that translation more. But I'm a little bit biased towards the ESV, and I believe it's a better translation because I don't believe it's talking about death necessarily, but it's talking about spiritually drifting away or moving away from God. How quickly we can lose our vision and get sidetracked by so many things. And we've spoken about things in the church, but riches, man's praise, Good ideas can sidetrack us, even though they might sound like good ideas at the time. Idolatry. We throw away wisdom. And that is the warning for Israel, and it's the warning for us. And as I read the first verse of that hymn, the hymn continues in this. It says, "Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word." Oh man, I really can't read this. I do want a light. Hey, I've got technology. Let me use it. All right, there we go. "Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great father and thou my true son." It's amazing. "Thou in me dwelling and thou in thee one." It goes on and says, "Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart." That line. That's so convicting right there. "Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art." I could sing it, but I'm not going to. Like, I'll do requests afterwards. But, see, in many ways, our vision of God will determine our behavior and whether or not we are drifting or casting off restraint. My prayer is that the cry of our heart would be those two lines: "Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart." If I could leave you tonight and all you remembered in the week was "thou and thou only, first in my heart." But the passage doesn't finish there. Ah, thank you, Ethan. Look at that. Hey, and there was light. I never thought I'd use my phone torch when I was preaching. It's quite profound. Actually, I'm still going to need it. My eyes. I'm 44, guys, and my eyes are... Okay. Let me just keep it here in case I need it. My printer ran out of ink today. That's the true story. So it's printing yellow where it should be red. The passage doesn't finish there. It goes on. It's a short passage. But it says, "But blessed is he who keeps the law." And that is our encouragement. Now, for Israel, that means keeping God's statutes and law. We know at the time it was pretty the Mosaic law, staying true to what had been revealed of God by the prophets and through Moses. And for us, it means staying true to what has been revealed in Jesus. You know, in Matthew 5, that the law is fulfilled in Jesus. He often says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." In that way, Jesus fulfills the law on the Sermon on the Mount. Amazing piece of scripture that's worth reading. John Piper famously says this. John. He says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him." An amazing quote, based on a quote from Jonathan Edwards. So what is the vision of Muizenberg Church? I hope I've answered it, but let me reiterate. Quite simply, the vision for this church is Jesus Christ, first and foremost. He is our vision. We have a vision. We don't not have a vision, we have a vision, Jesus Christ. That is the vision now in 2021, and that'll be the vision in 2071, 81, 91, where do you go from there? 2100. My maths is very bad. That'll be our vision for the next 50 years and until the Lord returns. Our vision is Jesus, first and foremost. And from that vision, everything else will flow. Everything we do in the community, everything we do for each other, will all flow from our vision of Jesus. That doesn't mean that those things aren't important. Let me stress that. I don't want to say that those things are not important to us as a church. They are. Those things are very important. How we affect our community, how we reach out to our community, how we love our community, how we love one another, are all important things. And those are part of our mission as a church. But our mission flows from seeing Jesus first. Those things can change from year to year. I could stand up tomorrow and tell you that we need to do something different, that there's a new soup kitchen open that we need to get to, or we need better chairs or hall. There's always something more that we need as a church, and that's part of our mission as a church. But that's not our vision. Our primary vision is Jesus. There's always new ways to do the work of the gospel, but our overarching vision never changes. Earthly plans are temporal. A godly vision is eternal. There are not going to be any Teslas in heaven or iPhones. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe in the new heavens and the new earth there'll be iPhones. Depends what your eschatology is. Anyway, moving on. So my encouragement to us as a church is this, my encouragement to you would be this. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I am so convinced that the primary vision of this church needs to be Jesus. And the prayer is that as we walk this out, and as we all walk this out, we'll be able to show Jesus and be obedient to our heavenly vision. Because he is perfect in every way. And as I come to an end, our hymn also draws to an end. As I grab my torch to read it. I'm not going to sing the end. It carries on, and it's this amazing hymn, because it carries on and it says, "High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all." It's a powerful lines. Apparently my time is up. Yeah, okay, I'm actually done. That was quite weird. So my encouragement is make Jesus your vision. And from him, the mission will flow. If we as a church can get that right, if we can love Jesus with everything we've got, we will love our neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But first, love him. Wake up in the morning and go, "Jesus, I just want to spend time with you. Be primary to me now, please. Heart of my own heart, be my vision, God. I just want to find you this morning." Yeah, let me end it there. No. I wonder if we can stand. I want to pray for us. I think that would be cool. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. First, I want to pray for us that we would really just put Jesus in the center of our lives. And I know it sounds like we probably do, but it's almost just a reminder of why we're here in our mission. And it's also a challenge, right, that if you feel like you've taken your eyes off Jesus, because the warning of that scripture is where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And casting off restraint can look like many different things in your life and in my life, but it means you've taken your eyes off the prize. And now you're kind of wondering and you're doing stuff that maybe you shouldn't be doing, and it happens to the best of us. And God's saying, no, come back and see me. Because if you see a big picture of me, that stuff falls to the wayside. I promise you, when you've got a big picture of God and who he is, of his grace and his mercy and his love, every other distraction just really feels like a distraction. It's just not even worth it. Because he is so worth everything. Now, I'm going to pray for us now that we would, as a church, again see Jesus as our primary mission and our focus. And then I want to pray for those of us who feel like they've taken their eyes off Jesus, because we can so easily do it. I want to pray again that Jesus would, yeah, just meet with you tonight. Okay, let me pray. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Jesus, we want to sing with the writer of that hymn where he says, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be naught else to me, save that thou art. God, we want to sing those words with conviction. God, when we wake up and when we meet with you, that our eyes would be set just on you. Just as we think of Paul, as he has that vision of God and the bright sun and the light, God, that he was overwhelmed by who you were and what you were doing. And God, we can do that as we come to you, as we read your word. As your Holy Spirit comforts and encourages us, God, we can have a vision of who you are through your word. And God, I pray that we as a church would have that, Jesus. We would know who you are. And we would commune with you, God, that you would be the vision of our hearts, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that from that place that we would engage with people, Father. Because if we do it the other way around, we're just doing works. We're doing works first and then we're trying to introduce Jesus. And Jesus, we need to be Jesus first, and then we do, oh God, we want to love people so well, God, but not before we've loved you well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I want to pray for those. Maybe if you feel like you've drifted from him a bit, and we all do. I was in worship now, and you just sing those songs, and you're like, oh Jesus, you are so good to me. You're so good to me. Like, oh man, I get stuff wrong all the time. You're so good to me. I really was. Like, worship was just like, oh man, Jesus, help me. I want to pray for you. If you feel like you have, if you feel like you've turned your eyes off of him for a bit, if you have been looking at other stuff or just trying to find life in the mission, you're not going to find life in the mission. You're going to find life in him, in the vision. I promise you, trust me, if you're trying to find life in the mission, you will eventually die. Because missions don't give life. Only Jesus does. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you. God, we want to repent, firstly, for ever taking our eyes off of you. You are so beautiful. You are so incredible, God. You are so full of grace and mercy and life. And Jesus, where we've strayed, where we've cast off restraint, where we've lost sight of that prophetic vision of who you are, God, I pray that today we would turn. That we would obey you again, Lord Jesus. That as we wake up, we wouldn't think of what we need to do tomorrow or today or the list of things, but God, we just want to spend time with you. Be our priority, God. Be our priority. As a church, be our priority, Jesus. Life can wait. I pray that would be the motto of this church. Life can wait. Jesus first. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, we come before you. We say, God, if we've looked away, turn our eyes back to you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, we want to look full in your face. Just help us to do that, God. I just want to look full in your face, God. And never let our eyes be turned left or right, Jesus, but just looking at you continually. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Dylan. Maybe in closing, I'm just going to throw it out there. Does someone have the confidence to lead us in Be Thou My Vision? If not, I will, and I've never sung. So whether you want to see it as a threat or a challenge, you know, we're going for it. So while we wait for that person to come forward, take out your phone and Google Be Thou My Vision lyrics so we all have the words. I do know the tune, yes. Brett's in. Do you want to sing? Perfect. We'll give Ethan a moment. Oh, no. I'd say do the one on your phone, because that's the one most people are going to know. So do the one on your phone. All right, 3, 2, 1. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true wealth. I am with thee, and thou with me, Thou art my great father, and I am the true son. Thou in me dwelling, and I all. Never say it can't be done. that is such a beautiful song. Thank you, Dil, for sharing. Can we sing it more often? Yeah, absolutely. I thought you wanted round two. I'm like, oh. Yeah, no, that'd be amazing. I think it's really important as we leave, just to leave with that reminder that our vision isn't some temporary thing that we try to hold on to as the core of the church. No, the core of the church is eternal. It's Jesus. That's the vision. That's where we're going. And yeah, if there's anything that ought to sustain us for the week, that should be it. So yeah, go in peace. Thank you for coming.